9. So if you have your Bible, please turn to Leviticus number 9. Leviticus chapter number 9. You ought to be at least there now in your reading through the Bible. At least you're behind if you're there. Leviticus chapter number 9. Amen. Leviticus chapter number 9. What I'd like to do tonight is tell you from the Scripture how we can have a revival. And so this is one of the messages. There's a lot of different kinds of preaching. If you've been around church long enough, you know there's homiletical preaching. You know what that means? It means, go to Bible college, they teach you homiletics. And homiletics means that you make a pretty sermon. And all your points start with the same letter, and it's all outlined just right. And that's all right. I do that once in a while. And some of them carry that so far, it gets ridiculous. A lot of those preachers just think up something stupid. They ain't got nothing to do with the sermon, but it starts with the right letter. And then there's what we call expository preaching, where you take a verse of Scripture, and then you just expound and dig at verse or passage of Scripture. Then there's what they call topical preaching. And topical preaching is where you take a topic and preach through the whole Bible, like pride or jealousy, and go different all the way through the Word of God. And then there's what they call take a text and preach from it. You ever heard a preacher say that? I'm going to take a text and preach from it. And he reads the text and preaches from it and don't never get to it. You ever heard anybody do that? Just read it and then just take a spell for a while and don't ever preach on what they read. You ever heard them do that? And you keep thinking, now, what got to do with that scripture he read a while ago? Then there's what you call take a text and take a fit. And a lot of them do that. Just read the text, pow, it'll blow up for about 15 minutes. And when they get through, you said, I don't know what he said, but I liked it. I agreed with it. And then there's what we're going to do tonight. It's called reading and hollering. And reading and hollering is where you just read a verse and holler. Read a verse and holler. It said, behold the blood. Behold the blood! You know, the sons of Aaron. The sons of Aaron! Like that, you know. And that's what you do in reading and hollering. So that's what I'm going to do tonight. Verse 24, Leviticus chapter number 9. Look at chapter number 9 and verse 24. This is what we want to see Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday. And there came a fire out from before the Lord and consumed upon the altar the burnt offering and the fat, which when all the people saw it, that's us, they shouted and fell on their faces. Boy, by this time next Sunday night, wouldn't it be great if every one of us could just shout and fall on our face before God? That's revival. However, there's a bunch of stuff that preceded verse 24, and that's what I want to talk about tonight. How can we get this? Everybody wants fire to down, we can fall on our face and shout, but not many people are willing to do what the preceding verses say to do. So I'd like to talk about that tonight. And I'm going to talk about how we can have revival. If you'll leave your Bibles open there a minute, I'd like to point out about five or six things out of this Scripture. First, I'd like to say, as we prepare for church, you know, we ought to prepare ourselves mentally, spiritually, and physically before we ever come to church. I believe that church Sunday is the most important day of the week. I believe Sunday ought to be the day that we're looking. Somebody said, praise God, it's Friday. You know what's good about Friday? Because Sunday's coming. You know what's good about Saturday? Because the next day is Sunday. People say, boy, I can't wait till Friday. No, you ought to say, I can't wait till Sunday. We ought to jump up on Sunday morning and thank God that it's His day, the day that we set aside to go to church and worship Him. We ought to thank God this evening that we have the opportunity to come just before His presence and worship Him and honor Him and love God and serve God and sing in the choir and shake hands and fellowship and give our offering and pray and say amen. And what a blessing it really is. I got to thinking about that this week and I thought, you know what? We as parents, every parent in here has the responsibility of preparing yourself and your family for church on Sunday. Now, since we're having church Friday, I'll just translate that over into Friday. We ought to be preparing ourselves mentally. I mean, all week long. All week long. You know what? You really know you're not ready for revival when I walk up to somebody and say, boy, I'm excited about the revival, ain't you? And they'll say, now, when is that? You're messed up. You are messed up. That's right. You're so far behind, we done left you back in the ditch somewhere. I mean, what do you mean, when is it? You ought to be, have you one of them things right there? Like I got one of them on my refrigerator. You know, if you put that on your refrigerator, you'll look at it at least 10 times a day, right? And so you put that on your refrigerator, and every time you go, you know what I used to do? When I go off and preach, they'd be getting youth rally time, I'd take a youth rally and stick it on the TV. I mean, I've done it. And every time I'd want to watch TV, I'd see that sign and say, huh, I need to pray for the youth rally. Now, I'm not saying you have to do that. It might not be a bad idea for some of you this week just to stick that thing on the front of your TV. Amen. I mean, brother, we ought to be prepared mentally. We need to say, hey, Friday night's our revival. Friday night's our revival. You know what happens in most churches? The revival comes, and the preaching's good, and the singing's good, but then it's over, and most people don't have time to get on board and say, hey man, I want to get in on it. But it's too late. You wasn't mentally prepared. You should be mentally prepared. Every day this week, I want to challenge everybody in here that can and will to pray an hour every day this week. Half hour every day this week. You can do it. You can watch TV an hour. You can pray for an hour. Amen. Just get down and say, dear God, pour out your spirit. Dear God, do something for my family. Dear God, do something for my boys and girls. Dear God, help me. Dear God, please bless the preacher. Prepare ourselves mentally. We ought to prepare ourselves physically. You know what we ought to do with kids? We ought to get them kids in there. Say, now kids, every day this week, say, now kids, Friday night's the revival. Friday night's the revival. I can't wait. When you sit down to pray at the food table, say, Friday night's our revival. Kids, we're excited. I'm excited. If kids see, you know why so many kids, all they think about sports, baseball, and softball, because they've been raised on a softball park, and that's all they ever seen their daddy do, and they think softball is the most important thing in the world, or baseball, or basketball, or whatever. We ought to let our kids hear us talking about church. Well, let our kids hear us talking about, listen, if it's important to us, it'll be important to them. Amen. Y'all know me, that's been around me for years. When I have something, when I believe God's going to do something, I believe it's the most important thing in the world. And I don't think that's being arrogant. I don't think that's being cocky. I think if God's going to do something, ain't nothing in the world more important than what God's going to do. There ain't a ball game in 49 states, brother, as important as that service we're going to have Friday night. I don't care if Michael Jordan's playing up here at the corner. I say he can just wait till it's over if he wants me to walk. Brother, I'm coming to the house of God. I'm coming to God's house. I'm getting ready and I'm coming to God's house. You ought to get those kids out and get them ready. Now, I'm going to say something here tonight that you'll never hear me say much, because some preachers carry it to the extreme. But I am going to say it. I want you to listen to me real carefully, lest you misunderstand me. I think that when we come to church, we ought to have our clothes clean and done up, lay them little boys' kids and clothes out, little girls' clothes out, and look our very best that we can when we come to God's house. Say amen right there. Amen. Now, don't you dare get me wrong. Don't you dare. Anybody that walks in that door tonight is welcome. If they're not dressed properly or whatever, that makes no difference. I don't think everybody has to dress like me. But I do say this. If I suffer, some of the rest of you guys ought to have to too. Amen. But I'm going to say this, buddy. I'm going to say this evening. Hey, listen, your clothes reflect your attitude. You can tell somebody takes something serious by how they dress. You can tell a lot about somebody by how they dress. You can spot somebody walking down the street and tell a lot about their values and their philosophy and how they... You can look at somebody and tell what kind of music they listen to most of the time just by looking at them. Say amen right there. Yes, sir. You know that's the truth. I don't believe we ought to come to the house of God like a bunch of slobs, brother, that just rolled out of the bed, not combed their hair. And we ought to get up, boy. Listen, you may not have but one dress, but you can wash it and make it clean and comb your hair, brother, and wash your teeth. Wash your teeth. Amen. Somebody has to take them, wash them, I reckon, eyeballs and everything else. And, but I'm going to tell you something, brother. We ought to look our best when we go to the house of God. I preached in them little old country churches up in the mountains. And you know what them old people wear? They wear overalls. And they wear overalls. And some of them overalls is clean and ironed. And a white shirt, boy. I mean, them old farmers wore them old overalls. And that was their Sunday go-to-meeting clothes. And you know what they said? They said, this is the best I've got. And this is what I'm wanting to God's house on Sunday morning. All you mamas, listen to me. I don't care to let your kids go to church looking like Eminem or coming like Britney Spears. I think they ought to say, hey, This is God's day. This is God's house. We're going to look our best when we go. We're going to be presentable when we go to the house of God. Amen. As you know, I don't even ever preach with my coat off. You know how I do that? Because, brother, I think this is a sacred desk, and there ought to be respect shown behind this pulpit. And Mom said, Danny, you're going to burn up. And that guy said, I'm going to burn up if I take it off anyway. I tell you, I want to be a good representation for Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You know what I like? I like when little Brandon, little Fan, all them little old boys come up here and they got on my tie. I think that looks good. Amen. I like to see it. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying you're wicked if you don't wear. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying drag out the very best you got. And brother say, hey, I want to get up and sing for God and come to church and present myself to the Lord looking like a Christian and being the best I can be for God. Amen. I don't think you can argue with that. Amen. Wear your best. Amen. Your clothes say a lot about you. Your clothes say a lot. You say, well, Brother Danny, I just can't afford to. I'm not saying you have to wear a suit. I wear them because I'm a preacher. But I tell you what, boy, listen, I'm telling you tonight, I got enough ties. Give every man in here two each if you want them. Amen. And I'll tell you what, and keep a bunch for myself. Thank God, brother, we ought to do the very best we can to look our best for the glory of God when it comes time to go to church. I ain't got the message yet. I'm just talking about us getting here. Us getting here. I'm telling you, boy, we ought to walk in that door. I mean, don't come late. Be here as early as you can. Walk in that door right there and come in and greet the greeters. Amen. You ought to greet the greeters. Here's the greeter right here. Greet the greeter. Walk in and say, hey, Brother Ray, glory to God. His arm ought to be sore. By the time all y'all come in here and grab it and shout, buddy, we ought to come in. Listen, we sung a while ago. The Lord woke us up this morning, put clothes on our back and food on our table, and all God has been so good to us. Brother, we could be laying in the hospital somewhere with a tube run up our nose and dying. But God has let us come to church, and God has let us walk in the door. We ought to walk in that door and say, hallelujah, I'm glad I feel like coming tonight. Amen. We was out on bus route yesterday, and I had a couple of people with me, and we won't tell them because their daddy will kill me. They might have already told. And I was going up paying attention. I thought we was just going over a hump. And I went right across the road, right across the main highway, without even looking, without slowing down. Lord have mercy. They said, Brother Danny, stop! And I just thought it was a hump in the road, and there was a stop sign and a main highway. I just fly and went right across it. And I tell you what, I was going to see somebody's kid. And you know what? I got to thinking about that. It wasn't about 5 seconds till a car come. In fact, it would have been 5 seconds early. Plow! Right inside. Could have. And I got to thinking yesterday evening. I said, God, right now, I could have been laying in the hospital. Right now, I could have had all my bones broke up and my ribs broke and caved in and everything. But your hand took care of me, and you protected me. I want to praise Him tonight because He's good to me. I want to shout because I'm able to come to church this morning. Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. You ought to shout and thank God. Listen, brother, there's thousands just like us tonight that would love to feel as good as you feel and be able to walk in the house of God, but they ain't able, and you're able. You ought to thank God for it this evening. Amen. So we ought to be here with bells on. And brother, I mean shouting when we walk in the door and come to the house of God. Prepare before we ever get here. Now let's go back to our scripture a little bit tonight. Go back to our scripture quickly. Here's what we do. Moses told him in verse 6. He said, this is the thing which the Lord commanded you. You know why? And the glory of the Lord shall appear unto you. You say, I want the glory of the Lord to appear this weekend, preacher. Look at Leviticus 9:7. First thing to do, and Moses said unto Aaron, go unto the altar. Amen. First thing we ought to do is go to the altar. Amen. Go to the altar. Brother, I am a firm believer. Did you know this altar tonight is made for God's people? I'm glad when sinners come and get saved, but the altar all the way through the Bible was put there for God's people to offer up sacrifice and keep their self clean. Everybody here that's able to bend down ought to be a frequent user of the altar and come. There's something wrong with you if you never have no feel, no need or pull to come to this altar and pray. I've seen people, I've known them 20 years and never seen them go to the altar one time. 25 years, never seen them go to the altar. Don't tell me that you can sit down and listen to preaching every Sunday night. Everybody gets up here and preaches, I feel like I go to the altar. Have y'all ever noticed when we have a visiting preacher, I always go to the altar. He says something that tears me up. I feel like here's the way you ought to go to the altar. You ought to go to the altar when you feel good. Some people say, boy, I tell you, I just got to show me. I just want to go to the altar and thank Him. That's good. You ought to go to the altar when you feel good. Once in a while, just step out, come on down to the altar. Come on down to the altar. Some of you don't even know what it looks like down here. There's carpet on the floor. There's two little steps right here. I mean, there ought to be tears dripping on this thing. Go to the altar, brother. Go to the altar. Hit that altar. Hit that altar. That's a good place. Somebody said, oh, so-and-so, they have to go to the altar every service. They ain't no different than them and you, except they're trying to live right, and you just gave up and quit a long time ago. Amen. Brother, I believe, let me tell you what I believe. I believe if you have to wire your britches legs out on this thing to stay right with God, if you got holes in your britches, then thank God, stay on this altar every service if that's what it takes. And in the day we're living in, it just about takes a trip every Sunday. Go to the altar when you're feeling good. Go to the altar when you're feeling bad. Somebody said, well, I just can't feel no conviction or nothing. Fine. That's a good time to go to the altar. That's a good time to go, though. Get up here and ask God to convict you. Get up here and ask God to show you why you're so dead. Get up here and say, God, do something in my heart. Go to the altar when you're feeling good. Go to the altar when you're feeling bad. And then once in a while, just go to the altar for sheer principle, brother. I'm blessed God, I'm going to the altar. I ain't happy, I ain't sad, I ain't mad about nothing. Don't have nothing particularly to pray about. I'm just going to go to the altar because I'm able to go to the altar. Go unto the altar. What it said, go unto the altar. Go to the altar. You want a revival? Go to the altar. Go to the altar. Somebody said, well, you're too proud to let somebody see you bow down and talk to your Creator. Lord have mercy, man, you're in bad shape. Now look at verse 11. Next thing you got to do. And the flesh and the hide he burnt with fire without the camp. After you got to burnt the flesh, you know what's the next thing you got to do to have revival? Burn your flesh and your hide. That's the hard part. That's the hard part. Burn that flesh and that hide. People say, boy, preacher, burn us a blister. That's good. I've been trying to listen to some preaching this week. I got me out and preached some preaching tapes. I pulled out one that I preached. I think it was in 1980. And I lived there and I sound a little funny. But boy, Lord, I was preaching up a storm. And I said, Lord, have mercy. I preached myself under conviction. And I got some other tapes. I got some other tapes. And I got one by Brother Jack Scott, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Hammond. And then I got one by Dr. Ruckman, I think. And then I got one by somebody else. That Capacity fell out in Arkansas. And I've been listening to some tapes Carrie gave me. And boy, that preaching, you know what it'll do? It'll burn this flesh. It'll burn this flesh. You say, Brother Danny, what are you talking about? Tan your hide, brother. Tan your hide. Tan your hide. That's what we got to do. If we want God to send us a revival, burn this flesh. Say, what are you talking about? Don't have what it was. A good way to do that is fast. We haven't declared a fast for this revival, but I am saying tonight, everybody in here that God puts it on your fast, ever fast the heart one day, you go right ahead. Amen. I tell you what, brother, you fast as God leads you. I've done got it, my mind made up, unless the Lord changes mine, what I'm going to do. And you fast as God leads you. You know what fasting does? It burns this old hide. This flesh says, I'm starving. Shut up. You've had your way long enough. I want a revival. You just burn. And the flesh says, no, I'm starving. We'll have a good revival anyway. Somebody else will pray and fast. You know how he is. He'll get something to happen. And you'll say, no, you're not eating. Shut up. And your flesh will say, but I'm going to die if you don't feed me. And you say, hush, I said. You're going to burn, flesh. You're going to burn. If you'll burn this old hide, you're getting yourself in a position that God... You know how some Christians can't never get nothing from God? They don't know how to say no to their flesh. They give it everything it wants. If you give your flesh everything it wants, don't be offended by this, but you're going to stay in trouble, you'll stay backslid, you'll get fat, and you'll do a lot of other stuff. If you give your flesh, don't be offended, if you give your flesh everything it wants, it'll run your life. Amen? And brother, mine's just like yours. It screams. For what it wants. Some of you here this evening, you ought to go home tonight and say, hey, you say, well, I just watch this one soap opera every day, and it's the only, I don't watch the rest of them, just this one. Burn that hide! Tan that flesh! You watch God bless you if you'll burn that hide. Now, I don't know why I said that. I know in a good, godly, dedicated, separated, sanctified, soul-winning, independent, fundamental, premillennial church like this, none of you ladies watch soap operas, do you? You really don't look that dumb. You don't sit at home and watch As the Stomach Turns, surely. Been searching for tomorrow for 40 years and ain't never found it yet. What makes you think you're going to get it this week? They just get you all interested and then say, fine, and continue till tomorrow. And then they get you right at that point, continue till tomorrow. Ain't never nothing going to happen. I mean, it just makes you think something's going to happen. Amen? I mean, tell you, brother, turn that thing off and make that flesh turn a little bit and you watch what God will do. All you people sing in the choir, you want the power of God on you? Let that flesh burn. You know what the preacher's job is? Tan that hide. I wouldn't give you a dime for a preacher if it wouldn't bust her hide. A lot of people say, well, I wouldn't let so-and-so preach our church. He'd preach on all the sin. Good, man, good. That's what we need. We need preachers to preach about sin. I heard this guy on the radio the other day. I could not believe my ears. And I try not to be critical. I mean, God's got preachers and all different kinds of ministries and everything. And this guy was the most honest. That was the dumbest sermon I believe I've ever heard. You know what he said? He said, these preachers that go around, if you get up and you preach against adultery and you preach against lying and stealing, he said, everybody in your church is going to commit adultery and lying and stealing. He said, because when you tell people they can't do something, that makes them want to go out and do it. And the idiot was saying that it was a preacher's fault for preaching against it that made people sin. I said, good night. Now, are you honestly trying to say that the preacher's fault that people sinning because the preachers preach against it and human nature wants to rebel? I said, that's the craziest thing I ever heard tell of in my life. There ain't a preacher in the Bible that didn't preach against it. There ain't a one of them that you tell me that's all wrong. You tell me that Isaiah who said, cry aloud, spare not, lift up your voice, show my people their transgression. You try and tell me that people sin just because Isaiah preached against it? Lord, no. If it wasn't for the preachers preaching against it, it'd take over the whole world. We're like Roundup, brother. We squirt the gospel on it, and it keeps it beat down. You keep sin beat down in your church if you preach against it. Sin don't seem so bad till the old preacher gets up and busts it real hard. Then you realize how bad it is. You'll get them little pet sins like watching movies and stuff, and you'll think, nah, it ain't that bad. Then some preacher will get up, bam. You'll think, oh my goodness, that's wicked. See, he's burning the hide. Burning the hide. Burning the hide. That's good for you. You can't have revival unless you burn your hide. And when Brother Randy comes in, he'll do some hard preaching. He's a good preacher. He's not a hateful, mean, stupid preacher. But sin. So let me take just a second here and talk about how we ought to treat this preacher coming in this weekend. I've preached a lot. I've been preaching revivals since I was 19 years old. I don't even know how many churches I've been in. I don't even know. Somebody asked me the other day, Brother Danny, how many states you? I said, Lord, I don't even know. I don't know how many churches. I've kept records for 20-something years, but I have no clue how many times I've been, how many places, how many people I've seen saved. Don't even know. And I know what it's like to go into a place where you're not treated a man of God should be treated. And I think when this man comes in here, let's do this. Shining Light Baptist Church, we don't have the nicest facilities. We may not have the best sound system or something that he might be used to. But they ain't a church in the world that ought to be better to a preacher than what we can be to him this week. You don't know what it does to a preacher. I think you ought to sit there and listen to him. Make your kids sit up straight and listen to the man of God and pop them if they don't. Amen. And don't let them disturb service. Put duct tape on their mouth or whatever you got to do. Amen. And let me tell you, brother, when the service is over, all you young people ought to line up, get him to sign your Bible, shake his hand, say, God bless you. Thank you for coming to our church and be good to the man of God and say, man, when he says something right. Amen. We're going to be good to it. Every one of you here tonight, what if you was going out to eat Friday night? If you was going out to eat, you might do that before you come to church. Some of y'all will probably go over at Fats Friday night and spend $30 and then come over here to church and throw a dollar in the offering plate. And what that man gives you from the pulpit, and I don't care if you go to Fats and spend $30 if you'd take me, you cheapskate. I got to go Friday night poor last, and my friends from Maryland took me. But I don't care if you really, I don't care if you eat out every day. If you want to waste all your money, ain't nothing wrong with it if you want to go. I'm just saying, listen, when a man of God gets up and gives you something, he's giving you something better than baby back ribs. He's given you something better than steak. He's given you something better than shrimp. He's given you something better than crab legs. He's given you something better than potato soup. He's given you something better. Listen, boy, if we give $25 over to the restaurant, whatever, every family in this church ought to throw in a good offering Friday night or Saturday night, and let's be good to the man of God. Be good to his wife. Be good to his wife. Did you hear me, ladies? Be good to his wife. Boy, it means a lot. You ever thought about a preacher's wife traveling with him? He travels all the time. They travel in a Winnebago-looking thing. Can you imagine her? She walks in, don't know nobody. Sometimes sits by herself and nobody don't even speak to him. Be good to his wife, ladies. Don't just all of you talk and just walk right by her and don't speak. Crowd around her. Make her feel welcome. I think a bunch of you, you know, I ain't got no wife. I can't got a wife to go get the preacher's wife and take her out to eat and be not. I can't do it. So y'all got to help me. A bunch of you get together Saturday and take her out to lunch and spend time in fellowship. They ain't been married in just a very short time, just a few years. And brother, that dear sister, I don't even know her name, but she needs some ladies to crowd around her, make her feel welcome at the house of God. Think about it. Think about if it was you. Let him tan her hide. Burn that hide a little bit. Verse 12, let me show you something else. And he slew the burnt offering. And Aaron's son presented unto him the blood, which he sprinkled round about upon the altar. After we burn our hides, after we come to the altar, we're going to claim the blood. We're going to claim the blood and trust the blood to make us right in the sight of God. You can give up watching TV for the rest of your life, and it ain't going to make your heart right. You can quit playing cards or whatever you do. You can quit gambling, drinking liquor, whatever you're doing wrong. Still ain't going to make your heart right. You got to trust the blood. Sprinkle the blood. And then I want to show you something else. Look at verse number 20. Verse number 20. And they put the fat upon the breast, and he burnt the fat upon the altar. They burnt the fat upon the altar. They burnt the fat. What is fat? Fat is what is not necessary. Anything that's unnecessary. Like my bone right there, it's necessary. I was on that, you know, my girls have been on the diet. Everybody's been on the Atkins diet. So I tried it for a while. I said, I got a little fat right here I need to get rid of. And son, I did it and it worked. Fat's gone. Gone. Ain't there right now. So really, right now, anything I lose is necessary. I mean, you know what I mean? I need my elbow. I need my arm. Carrie told me, said, Daddy, your muscles start going away after a while. I said, nope, don't want fat. But you know what? We want to get rid of what's unnecessary. That, you know, when you get a steak, you take that knife, you cut off the fat. You cut off fat. Some of you just eat it down like a dog. I mean, if you want to, that's all right. Dr. Ruckman eats chicken bones. I tell you what I do. I cut the fat off. I cut the fat off. I want to eat the fat and scoot it over there. Amen. Scoot it over there on the other side of the plate. I want the meat and not the fat. That's what God's saying. What God's saying is, cut off the fat. Cut off the stupid stuff that we got in our lives that hinder us from serving God. The New Testament says it like this. Lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Things in your life that might not be a sin, but you know it keeps you from being what you ought to be for God. Like the music you listen to. Instead of getting up on other morning tone country music television and sitting there listening to Toby. Somebody told me the other day, they said, Brother Danny, you got to hear this song. Brother Danny, you ought to hear this song. And this dude comes on, he says, there's a long black train. Long black train. They said that's a good thing. It is pretty good. Got some good words to it. But I'm going to tell you something. Don't go riding on that long black train. Amen. You say, well, 1 out of 50's got the gospel in it. And the next one says, she thinks my tractor. What kind of fool girl would think something like that? I can't hear you. I can't hear you. A retarded buck-toothed girl would think something like that about a tractor. I mean, she's a buck-tooth, she can eat an apple through a chain-link fence. If she thinks your tractor looks better than like that man. Of course, it probably does look better than that fella. Like that fellow put in that paper, he said, young, attractive farmer seeks wife with tractor. Please send picture of tractor. Single white female, you know. I'll show you something else they did after they burnt that fat. Look at what else he said. Verse 22. Verse 22 said, and Aaron lifted up his hand toward the people and blessed them. He came down from offering the sin offering, the burnt offering, and peace offering. The preacher looked up and said, boy, y'all, I'm proud of you. Just raise your hand. And then after you've done burnt your fat and quit you listening to dirty music and got all the sin out of your life and everything, just come in here and just rest the Lord. Oh, bless the Lord. Oh, bless the Lord. And all this would end. And finally, the last thing, or not the next to last thing, verse 23, the glory fell. And Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of the congregation and came out and blessed the people. And the glory of the Lord appeared on all the people. All we got to do is burn the fat, praise the Lord, lift up our hands, enjoy coming to church, go to the altar, get our hearts right, and the glory of the Lord will appear in that. There's plenty of churches can have a nicer building. There's plenty of churches can have nicer buses or nicer parking lot or more things. No group in the world can have a more glorious spiritual church than we can have if we want it. We can have just what we want. Well, our church ain't really as spiritual as well, you know who it's made out of, don't you? Me and you. You say, our church ain't spiritual, it ought to be. Good. Come to the altar and let's pray tonight. Let's stay up here and pray for about an hour, if you really mean that. We was up here Friday night from 9 to 12, and boy, there's people laying around up here praying, and but it's always the ones that are criticizing is the ones that don't care. It's like people griping about where the money's being spent and don't even tithe. You ever knew anybody like that? I don't think we're on fire that. And don't even put the tithe. Shut up, buddy. If you ain't going to help carry your load, you ain't got no business saying where it goes. Amen right there. The glory fell, brother. The glory fell. If you ain't praying for your church, don't gripe because it ain't spiritual. People spend as much time praying as they did gossiping, the glory would fall once in a while. Listen, last thing I'll say is they shouted and fell on their faces. Look at verse 24. And there came out a fire from before the Lord and consumed the altar and the burnt offering and the fat. When all the people saw, they shouted and fell on their faces. That's how to have revival. Simple. It ain't a magic formula. It ain't like, boy, if I could get this singing group and I could get this famous. It ain't that. It's simple. Everybody in here tonight, go to the altar, confess our sin, burn the hide, tan the hide, burn this old flesh a little bit this week. Tell it no. Don't let it have what it wants. Lift up our hands. Praise God. Come in here shouting Friday night. Give a good offering. I'm serious about you doing something for that preacher's wife. I mean that. Do something special for her. He'll have Saturday out here studying. She just has to sit there. Have to come off the bus route or something like that. Amen. Do something for her. Do something good and special for God's man. And we'll have a revival. Let's stand by our heads for prayer.